Welcome aboard. I'm Jim, the assistant supervisor. The burly man sitting in front of me extended his grease-stained hand across the desk. Alan, I replied, leaning forward to shake the offered hand. We're very excited to have you here, Alan. Now, before I give you a tour of the facility, I just need you to fill out some paperwork, Jim said, reaching over to grab a small stack of papers he had waiting for me. It's mostly just basic employment forms, tax stuff, contact info, that sort of thing. He handed the stack to me with one hand, while he used the other to pull a pen out of the drawer. After I accepted the papers, he placed the pen on the desk and slid it over to me. I'm gonna leave you to it, Jim said, gesturing at the papers with his chin as he got up and began to leave his office. I've got a few things I need to check on before we begin the tour. If you need anything, just ask Carol. He pointed at his receptionist. Once he left the office, I picked up the pen and began filling out the papers. It was the usual paperwork you'd expect to fill out when you start a new job. At least it was, until I came to the last two forms. The first was a non-disclosure agreement, and the second was a complacency procedure agreement. I know what a non-disclosure agreement is. I was just surprised to see that I needed to sign one to work at a water treatment plant. It was the complacency procedure agreement that had me confused. I had never heard of such a thing. I would have pulled out my phone and looked it up on Google, but I was asked to surrender my phone when I entered the plant. I got the impression security of the facility was very tight. I really needed the job, so there weren't many things that would keep me from signing the agreement. I just wanted to know what it was before I signed it. After mulling it over in my head for a few moments, I decided to ask Carol about it. Excuse me, Carol, I said, picking up the form and walking over to a desk. Can I ask you something? Sure thing, hun, she replied, turning away from her computer to give me her full attention. I dangled the form from my fingers so she could see it. What is a complacency procedure? She sighed in annoyance, but not at me. I take it Jim didn't go over the forms with you before running off and leaving you on your own. I nodded my head. Typical, she said. The complacency procedure is like a special type of exit interview in case you ever decide to leave the company. You are going to learn a lot about how the plant operates while working here, and the owners don't want you to spill any trade secrets if you quit or get fired. The procedure is designed to ensure that doesn't happen. It's nothing to worry about. Everyone here has signed one. You won't be allowed to work here if you don't sign it. She waited a moment while I processed everything she had told me before speaking again. Does that answer your question? Yeah, I guess it does. Thanks, I said, turning and walking back into Jim's office where I signed the form and waited for him to return. You all done? Jim bellowed from behind me a few minutes later. Yep, I said, waiting for him to take a seat before handing him the forms. He flipped through them quickly, stopping when he came to the complacency procedure form. I considered asking him about the procedure, but decided against it. The form was signed. I was committed to the job at this point. Excellent, he said, standing up. Now we can get started. Follow me. Jim walked out of his office, the forms I'd filled out clutched in his hands. I got up and followed him. As he walked by Carol's desk, he handed her my paperwork and asked her to file them. How much do you know about the facility? Jim asked, holding the door to the facility open for me. Not much, I admitted, walking through the doorway. I live over in August County, and a new water treatment plant in a neighboring county isn't exactly headline news. I guess it wouldn't be, Jim said, taking the lead down the corridor. Truth be told, we tried our best to keep the plant out of the news when we took over water treatment duties for Howard County. Why is that? I asked. Given the nature of the unique way the plant works, the people in charge wanted to draw as little attention to the facility as possible. Is that why you hire people from different counties? When I applied, one of the requirements listed for the job was that I not live in Howard County. According to the application, anyone that lived in or had visited the country in the past 3 years was eligible for employment. You'd think they want to support the local economy by hiring people who live there, but I wasn't going to question it. I was just happy they were willing to give me, a guy with no experience in the water treatment industry, a chance to prove himself. That's one of the reasons. Jim smiled, and then changed the subject. This is our first stop, he said, leading me through one of the doors that lined the hallway. The back wall of the room was filled from floor to ceiling with all sorts of meters and gauges. Standing before the wall was an older gentleman, dressed in coveralls and holding a clipboard. This is the monitoring station. Jim gestured at the wall with an open hand. And this is Buddy, he said, placing a hand on the older man's shoulder. Alan, I said, reaching out and shaking Buddy's offered hand. He smiled and inclined his head in a greeting. Buddy is our first line of defense against any potential malfunctions, Jim explained as Buddy went back to reading the meters and making notes on his clipboard. Our filters can be temperamental at times, and it is Buddy's job to warn us before something like that gets out of hand. As a filter technician, Buddy is the most important person you'll be working with, so try and stay on his good side, he joked as we left the room and returned to the hallway. What were those oddly shaped gauges along the top of the wall? I asked Jim as we walked to our next destination. They didn't look like they could possibly be real. They looked like something you'd see in a Dr. Seuss book. Those are unique to our filtration system, Jim replied. Once you see the filters, they will make a lot more sense. I was about to ask another question about the dials when I was interrupted by a deep, lowing sound coming from one of the exit doors we passed. I looked at Jim to gauge his reaction, but he didn't seem concerned about it and kept on walking. So, I did the same. My first thought was that a cow from a neighboring cattle ranch had wandered onto the property, but I didn't see how that was possible considering the treatment plant was surrounded by a chain link fence that was topped with barbed wire. You could easily mistake the place for a prison. My curiosity eventually got the better of me. Was that a cow? I asked, jabbing my thumb over my shoulder at the door. It was, Jim answered. The county owns the ranch next door. It makes things a lot easier for us and helps keep people from asking too many questions about what we do here. Aren't you worried about the runoff from the ranch polluting the water? If they weren't, they should be. I saw at least 300 or 400 cows wandering around the large open field that bordered the plant when I drove by. That's a lot of animal waste that can easily make its way into the water system, especially since it was so close to the treatment facility. You could run raw sewage through this plant, and what would come out would be the cleanest drinking water in the country. I know this for a fact, because we occasionally do it. What? I blurted out. Jim stopped and turned to face me. Running this facility isn't cheap. Processing waste overflow from neighboring states helps us offset our operating costs. I know it sounds disgusting, but once you understand the process, it won't seem as shocking. I had a million questions running through my mind, but I didn't ask any of them. I decided to wait until the filtration process had been explained to me before I said anything else. Here we are, Jim announced as we reached the end of the hall. Behind him was a large metal door. In the center of it was a wheel that had to be turned to unlock it, like the ones you find on a military ship. Another security measure, Jim said, after seeing the puzzled look on my face. From this point on, the facility is made entirely out of steel. He knocked on the wall. The engineers used modern battleships as inspiration when designing the hold tanks for the plants. Plants? I asked. Is there more than one water treatment facility in the county? Jim didn't answer. He just smiled and said, "After you," as he pulled the heavy door open. I stepped through the narrow opening into a room that was lined with bright yellow environmental suits. On the far wall was another door like the one we had entered through. A million more questions ran through my mind, but they all fled when I was startled by Jim slamming the door shut and spinning the wheel, locking us inside the tiny room. "Grab a suit," he said, pulling one off the wall and starting to put it on over his clothes. "We can't go any further without them." I grabbed a suit and started to shrug into it. Once Jim finished putting his suit on, he came over and made sure that I'd put mine on correctly. "Your suit must remain waterproof at all times. I cannot stress this enough. If it ever tears while you're in one of the holding tanks, you need to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible." Jim's voice was muffled by the suit. "Okay," I nodded. I was beginning to think taking this job was a bad idea. Now, I was starting to understand why it paid so well. "Now, before you can enter the holding tanks, you need to walk through the decontamination shower. This is done by walking through that door." Jim pointed to the door opposite the one we had entered. "Once you close the door, the showers will kick on as soon as you proceed down the hall. It's all automated, so you don't have to do anything except walk. The system only allows one person in the shower at a time, so I will go first. When that light comes on," Jim pointed to the green bulb above the door, "that means I've made it to the other side and it is clear for you to enter. Any questions?" Jim asked as he unlocked the door. I shook my head, despite the growing number of questions I wanted to ask. "See you on the other side," he said, closing the door. After Jim shut the door, the red light next to the green one lit up. I waited until it went off and the green light came on before opening the door and stepping into the narrow hallway. Taking a deep breath, I shut the door behind me and began walking down the hall. Before I finished my first step, the shower heads in the ceiling came to life, dousing me with fluid. I made my way to the opposite side, trying to keep a steady pace. I didn't know what the shower was supposed to protect me from, and I didn't want to take any chances by rushing through it. When I reached the door at the end of the hall, the shower was cut off. Before I could reach out and open the door, it swung open to reveal two people. One of them was Jim. "This is Bill," Jim said, introducing the man beside him. "He's been working overtime while waiting for us to hire another filter tech." "That's an understatement," Bill laughed. "I practically live here at the moment." I stepped through the doorway into a wide open space with a vaulted ceiling that must have been at least 30 feet high. In the center of the room, there were three large dome structures, each as big as a small house with large pipes coming out from the bottom of them. I greeted Bill with a handshake, the bulky gloves of our suits making it awkward. "Once you've completed your certification training, Bill will be your hands-on trainer," Jim explained to me. To Bill, he said, "Thanks, Bill. You can go prep the facilitator for Filter 1. Bill turned to leave, but before he did, he placed a hand on my shoulder and said, "Don't worry, man. The plant looks a lot worse than it really is." I didn't know how to respond to that, so I turned to Jim to see if he might elaborate on that comment. He didn't. "Your suit has about 45 minutes worth of air," Jim said, pointing to the small canister attached to my hip. "Fresh air canisters are kept in those cabinets." He pointed to a small shelved unit off in the distance. "There's one in every corner of this room. It'll be one of your responsibilities to ensure that those cabinets are fully stocked at all times and that all empty canisters are shipped out to be refilled." I nodded to show that I understood. Are you ready to see the filter? Jim asked. As ready as I'll ever be, I responded. At this point, I didn't know what to expect, but I was committed to seeing this through. I needed the job and couldn't afford to back out now. I followed Jim over to a door in the closest dome structure. Painted upon the side of the dome were the letters FIL-TER. Below that was a large number 1. Jim didn't say a word as he spun the metal wheel, unlocking the door. Once the door was opened, he motioned for me to enter first. I stepped through the doorway. What I saw defied belief. I was expecting a network of pools and pipes, along with a complex filtration system. Instead, I saw a concrete room, in the center of which was a large creature that vaguely resembled a deformed anemone, if an anemone could grow to be the size of a bus. I turned and faced Jim, expecting him to start laughing at the joke he had just played on me. But he just held me with his gaze, obviously waiting to see if I would freak out or not. "That's the filter?" I asked, pointing at it. "It is," he replied. "To be more precise, it is a fungiform intelligent lifeform, transdimensional environmental regulator, filter for short. I often refer to them as the water treatment plants, since they sort of look like flowers." "Intelligent? Are you saying that thing knows we are here?" I turned back around and leaned my head back to see if I could find anything that resembled a head or a face on the top of it. "Can it understand what we say?" "I'd say it is semi-intelligent," Jim replied. "It hasn't shown any indication it could understand us, but it does possess a cunning that rivals most predators." "Is it safe to be this close to it?" "As long as you have your suit on, you aren't in any danger. You could go up and touch it if you'd like." "I'll pass," I said. "So, how does it filter the water?" I asked, as curiosity started to replace my disbelief. "It doesn't filter the water. It produces it," Jim answered.
"How?"
Before Jim could answer, Bill walked through the doorway leading a cow.
"Perfect timing," Jim said to Bill. "To me," he said, "we think the filters are transdimensional creatures. That means they exist in two dimensions at once, ours and another one. Our best guess is that the water it produces comes from this other dimension."
"How do you get it to produce water when you want it to? It doesn't look like it's in the mood."
The tentacles that surrounded his body seemed to be limp and inactive. "That's what the cow is for. We call it a facilitator. Once the filter ingests the cow, it'll come alive like a sprinkler and fill this room in a matter of hours." The cow mooed when it was mentioned. The sound did not go unnoticed by the filter. Its tentacles came to life as it shifted its body towards the animal. The strange creature's excitement could be felt as vibrations in the air. Before the cow could respond to the threat, one of the filter's tentacles blasted it with a jet of water. The cow turned to run, but suddenly stopped. It stood there, dripping wet, oblivious to the large creature looming over it. Even when it turned its head and looked right at the filter, all it did was moo. When an opening formed in the filter's body, spilling forth a tangled mess of writhing tendrils to engulf the cow, it didn't struggle. It went to its death without a struggle. A few moments after the cow was pulled into the base of the filter, the tentacles along the top of its body began to swell and undulate before spurting forth a torrent of water, one after the other. It was impossible to avoid getting sprayed. I prayed my suit didn't have a hole in it. I saw what the water did to the cow.
That's our cue to leave, Jim said, motioning towards the door. I didn't need to be told twice. I was the first one out of the dome, followed by Jim and then Bill, who closed the door and sealed it. Before I could say anything, Jim held up his hand to stop me. Let's get out of these suits and head back to my office. There is a lot to go over, and I'd rather not do it standing around in these uncomfortable suits. I couldn't argue with that. I followed Jim back to the chemical shower. When it was my turn to walk through it, I stayed inside it longer than was necessary to ensure I was properly decontaminated. Where did that thing come from? I asked after Jim had taken a seat behind his desk. Well, that's a long story, he said, opening a drawer and pulling out a large manual and slapping it on his desk. That's what this is for. He placed his hand on the book. Everything you need to know about the filters, where they came from, why they are here, can be found in this book. I picked up the book and read the title. The Old One Accords. Underneath the title was a string of gibberish that looked like a bunch of letters and apostrophes. It was something like Feng Lui Magnalf, Cthulhu Rile, Magnalo Fugnan. Is this supposed to be some sort of training manual? I asked. What if I told you that a race of ancient deities from beyond time and space had awoken and had been secretly subjugating the planet for years, and that by the time the leaders of the world found out about it, it was already too late? Jim's question sounded like the plot of a bad science fiction movie. Up until an hour ago, I would have assumed you were on drugs, I replied. After what I've seen today, I'd give you the benefit of the doubt and hear you out before I decide if you are crazy or not. Well, it's true. But don't take my word for it. Read the book. It's all in there. What does any of this have to do with working here at the plant? As part of the surrender agreement the government made with the Old Ones, every state has to give up one county to act as the seat of power for the overseers, a place where they could continue to manipulate the world without the world knowing it. The filters are for them. The water they produce keeps the local populace compliant and ignorant of the creatures that act as their friends and neighbors. It also keeps them from questioning things when someone happens to go missing, if you know what I mean. No, I don't know what you mean. What are you talking about? I leaned forward, placing my forearms on the edges of his desk. The overseers have a very specific diet. Jim paused to let this comment sink in. Thankfully, they don't have to eat that often. You mean they eat? Jim nodded. I found it best not to dwell on it. I only mention it because I want you to know what's at stake if you decide to work here. That is why you have to read the manual. Once you're done reading it, you can become a certified acolyte, and you won't have to worry about what goes on in Howard County. Acolyte? It's just a fancy title used to refer to those in their employ. Don't let that turn you off. We rarely use the term on the job. What if I decide the job isn't right for me? Allow me to answer that. The voice that came from behind me made my skin crawl. It was wet and phlegmy. The speaker spat the words out, clearly not used to speaking English or articulating words in general. I was too afraid to turn around, knowing the thing behind me wasn't human. It couldn't be. Of course, Overseer Orozath, Jim said, standing to greet his boss. After he spoke, Overseer Orozath placed his hand on my shoulder. At least, I thought it was a hand, until I felt something cold and wet seep through my shirt. I froze, doing my best to not show my unease. Alan, he said, pausing as he leaned in close to my ear. What is known cannot be forgotten. If you choose to leave, I'll have to hold you to the complacency agreement you signed. His breath smelled like a festering wound.
"What does that mean?"
I asked, unable to keep the tremble out of my voice.
"It means if you're not an acolyte for this company, you'll become Howard County's newest resident. At least you'll be a resident until your services are needed in other ways."
Other ways? I wasn't asking a question. I just happened to be thinking out loud, remembering what Jim had told me about the residents of Howard County. "Yes, Alan. Other ways," Overseer Orizath answered. "To put it bluntly, as your kind likes to say, if you're not with the company, you're with the cattle."